We have an update on something we were complaining about last week.
I mean, guys, I don't think I've looked forward for something in so long. I've been giddy for a full week now, I guess.
Tell the people.
We're going to BravoCon.
Welcome to Boy Meets Bravo, your new favorite weekly Bravo TV recap podcast with a twist. We are two Bravoholics just trying to make it nice and show a formerly unwilling participant why Bravo TV is Gone with the Wind fabulous. I'm Bree.
And I'm LP, and this is Boy Meets Bravo.
Desmond was just talking about how he wants to watch multiple episodes next week.
Chill.
Those were his words.
Chill. I'm bored and ignored. No, I'm not doing this.
You said you would watch multiple episodes.
You said one of Roa, one of Rehoboth.
If y'all break them up in the 15-minute intervals,
and
yeah.
We said no.
All right, 10 minutes.
Literally can't get
you
anything out of it.
You started with 30 minutes. How did we backtrack all the way here?
This is a lot, y'all.
We'll see. By we'll see, I mean whatever LP and I decide.
Pretty much.
What will happen.
Here's your homework.
Listen, watch. We have an update on something we were complaining about last week.
I mean, guys, I don't think I've looked forward for something in so long. I've been giddy for a full week now, I guess.
Tell the people.
We're going to BravoCon.
I think what we did was we manifested it, right?
We
went ahead and got the hotel.
Yep.
We prepped. We slept. We got the.
We prayed.
We got the pre-buy, pre-sale codes.
Well, but where do we get that from?
Our Bravo Insider.
Boom. And when did I become a Bravo Insider? Months ago.
He did. He's been tracking.
I would say like episode 10, maybe. I don't even know.
Yeah, so. I remember that day. I was super impressed. I was like, he's committed, you guys. Mm-hmm. First of all, look at his Twitter feed. Second of all, he's an insider.
Yep. We asked, we believed, and now we received.
We've received.
So we will be in New York.
Kim Zolciak-Bierman. Yeah. We are. We'll be in New York. We want to see all of you. Some of you, that's impossible, but we would love to hang.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things planned. I think we're excited about being able to, one, meet fellow Bravo heads or whatever we're called, Bravo fanatics. And then I know that we've got some things planned in terms of like trying to help, you know, get out there and meet people and get some content for this podcast. And yeah, meeting up with some fellow podcasters that have been on the show in the past. I know, shout out to our Bravo boyfriends, yay, friends,
because
we're
going
to, we are excited to see you guys.
And if you're being forced to watch this show like I am or any show, come meet me. I want to meet you.
We should do a Boy Meets Bravo meetup.
Yeah. All the weirdos like.
Like you.
Like you. A bunch of dudes there being like, I've seen a couple episodes.
Yeah.
I see this consistently, though. I think this is a trend on Instagram of quote unquote husbands or boyfriends that don't like Bravo, but yet stand from like the kitchen door or directly in front of them in like their living room being like, what, who, how, she, what, ah, and having their own level of commentary. So
that's
like,
crazy.
There, you are one of many, sir. Let's find them.
We're out there.
Oh, we're excited. Well, we're so excited.
Yeah. We were pissed at first because the 3-day passes were just kind of obscene. But I get it. Like, they can make that money, so they're gonna. It literally was, like, on par with, like, Coachella ticket.
Yeah, my God.
But the 1-day tickets came out, and so we'll see you on Saturday.
Yes. Woo! Oh, God, I'm so excited.
I wake up thinking about it. I go to sleep thinking about it.
Y'all, when Desmond gave me the go-ahead to put our credit card in, I did a little dance in the kitchen. as I'm putting it in, the only time I've ever been excited to pay for something.
I was checking my bank account last night and I was like, what is this charge for? And then I was like, ah, yes. No worries.
Yep.
Goodbye, money. Yep. I don't care anymore.
Take my money, Andy.
Yeah.
So speaking of New York, I don't know how we forgot this, but a few weeks ago, Desmond and I went and saw Sonia in our city.
Finally. She finally came to our city.
She did. I don't know how we missed this.
Well, she keeps tagging you in posts. I don't know what is going on. But Sonia has tagged us in about 4 or 5 posts, the Boy Meets Bravo account. And it's...
We're confused, but we'll take it.
So you guys finally got to meet up, I guess?
Like a little bit. So we won tickets to go see Sonia in our city. And honestly, y'all, we love Sonia a lot. We are Sonia stans. But they were kind of giving away these tickets, because I saw some Instagram post and they were like, hey, enter here to win tickets. So I did it. I walked downstairs. I was like, Desmond, you do this too. And then we both won. So we went. It was fun. It was way more fun than Austin and Craig's show. It was way more packed too. I mean, it could be that people were getting them, but either way, it was a lot of fun. It was wild. How would you describe what happened there?
I don't know. It was crazy. It was like a drag show.
There was a drag queen at the beginning.
Give us a rundown. Give us a rundown of what you saw.
Saw some drag. Sonia, she's like, when I thought she was a nut just by watching her on TV, it's even more true in person. It's like, I'm not sure how her brain works, but it jumps around like connect the dots, but she's always missing a few dots. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we've watched her for probably 10 years now, so we know precisely what you're saying.
It's so wild. How'd you like it, baby?
I loved it so much. It was, she had a local comedian open up, a local drag queen open up, and then she had these two guys who were like the MCs for the night. It was just like a little variety show, and they had people from the audience come up to do games. I tried to get Desmond and I up because they were like, we need a heterosexual couple who are here. And I stood up. I was like, we volunteer as tribute. And Desmond just like sat back.
We're not doing that.
They did not choose us.
You would have done it if they had chosen you. Would you have sat in that chair? No, you would have gotten up on that stage for the content.
Okay, content. Yeah. Content-wise, I would have did it. But
They had a man come up and open up his Grindr app and like see if anyone was literally feet away in the theater.
Were there?
No, I don't think so, actually.
No love connections
no
made
love
that
connections.
Night?
Yeah, it was stupid, but it was fun. Like I was
super jealous.
Yeah, it was good.
I was super jealous. I was hanging out with my dad for his 70th birthday, which was fun, but
however,
I missed my girl Sonia, yeah. And she has always long been a favorite.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, an unknown friend of the pods.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I still can't get over it. The day, first day I saw, because like, you know me and the socials, I check Instagram every so often, especially the BMB account. But I remember seeing it pop up as like, Boy Meets Bravo, Sonia Morgan has tagged you in a photo. And I was like, excuse me? Excuse me? And immediately clicked on it. And then it was like a video of her running around.
Josh Flagg's house?
Josh Flagg's like Hampton's home, yeah, or something. They were like giggling and running through the bathroom and she had no pants on.
It was
and
like a series of stories.
Yeah. And we were just like somehow hidden, like our name wasn't on there. I think we've talked about this here, but like our name wasn't on there. And we just were there though. And Sony, she likes our things though sometimes.
Sonya's trying to fuck.
Oh.
Excuse me.
I'm just saying, did you notice her affliction for black men at this show?
Yes, I did.
Her affliction.
I don't know what to call it.
I think that's a sickness.
I'm just saying.
Affection, maybe.
I'm just saying.
Affliction.
Is Sonya trying to fuck?
She was like, there were these three guys up there, all gay men, because she like specifically asked for gay men for multiple like of these little segments of her show. And she like one guy would say something that was a good answer, but then she would literally turn to the black guy and be like, what do you think? Doesn't matter. Yes. Like she just loved it. That's funny, baby.
She did on the show, too. So like at Married to the Mob's like party, Leah was throwing a party for her team or whatever. It was like an anniversary of their company. And she had a lot of like.
I know Leah.
Yeah. Young, like. Every kind of man, right? And Sonia literally puppy piled into a group of black men and was like, ah! So yeah, her affliction is real.
Hey, we'll see if it's real come BravoCon.
Oh my God. Well,
oh my God.
As he sit next to his wife.
Oh, yeah, entertainment.
Leah's going to be on the next season of Rugged.
Tug it.
It's joking.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. That is my favorite joke. All these fine ass women on the beach, it's not rugged anymore. It's tug it. Oh, what's the lineup? Leah.
Okay, so we got, well, it was Leah. They were doing like what we were kind of unofficially calling dynamic duos, two people from each franchise, but now it's Leah and Portia from Atlanta. It is Giselle.
Portia's coming.
Yeah, instead of Tinsley.
Yeah, thank God. Tinsley would have been boring.
But I think Tinsley's going to be on Roni Legacy. So there's that. Giselle and Candace from Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
Heather and Whitney, Bad Weather from Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I missing? Oh, gosh.
A lot of beautiful women so far.
It is a lot of beautiful women. And Marisol and Alexia from Miami.
Okay.
This is a real pretty cast.
Mm.
For Rugged. They get to go to Thailand, which on the heels of the Berkshires is
a vast improvement.
And we loved it, but like, I mean, damn.
So that is our topic du jour, the Rugged Season 2 Ex-Wives Club. Yeah. So we'll jump into this particular season in tea time, but like I think we can all agree off the top that Rugged going to the Berkshires, it was a downgrade to Turks and Caicos and Thailand.
I think they were trying to make it like kitschy or something, you know, like
take them to Dorinda's camp.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, because Rugged 1 was in what, like Turks and Caicos?
Correct.
Yeah. Housewives on the Island, baby.
Yeah. They had a beautiful home and like massive sprawling pool and property somewhere in the Turks and Caicos. And then, I mean, the Turks and Caicos, just even if you were in a shack, it's going to be beautiful. Yeah. So
that'll be fun. I know that they just finished filming.
Before, I know we're going to jump into this, but this place that they're at in season 2, that it's Dorinda's house?
Yeah.
She owns that?
Yes. Yeah. So she was married to what did her husband who's passed?
Banking?
Yeah, he was a very wealthy British guy, and they had homes in New York, London, and this beautiful mountain home in Western Massachusetts. And so when he passed, like, she sold off a lot of those assets, has recently sold her New York, has like moved somewhere else in New York. And then, but the Berkshires is her like, you know, her home, not home away from home. It is her home.
Yeah.
That's where she spends a lot of her time and like lives, loves.
Yeah. I mean, it's gorgeous and massive and, you know, a sprawling estate on its own. It's just in
Western Massachusetts.
No, I'm okay with that. That place is beautiful.
It Baby, is.
You don't think I'll leave the house now?
I know. No one would ever see you.
I'm not going to tell what city we live in, but it's not the Berkshires. Shit.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Western Massachusetts is gorgeous. It's like mountainous, trees. Yes, there are legal options there.
It is a beautiful house, though. Oh my gosh. You know, it is a step down from Turks and Caicos.
I mean,
in Thailand. Well, luckily you're not doing like a real husband to Thailand. See which one of these husbands want to fuck some little boys.
Oh my God. Can you imagine the boys of New Jersey, the Jersey boys heading to Thailand? Can you? No, that's true. Well, they wouldn't be out there trying to do that. I could see them like running amok in Bangkok, like running a absolute muck. Oh my God. They'd be go see some shows for sure.
Mm, some wild shows.
Yeah.
Frank, we would like to see you when we're in New York BravoCon.
Talk about manifesting.
Yeah.
We're going to put it out there. We want to see all of our guests and co-hosts and all of that while we can. Colin will be up there. We're going to catch up with him. But Frank, we are looking at you, boy. You promised us. You promised us New Jersey strip clubs.
You did.
And if that can't happen,
we'll take a train.
We'll take a ride out to Jersey real quick.
Yeah.
go hear some house music and some titties. And trust me, you can hear titties in a strip club. Oh my God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, plug, 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 go back to our episode with Frank Catania, where we talk about lips and areolas. Oh so,
listen, before we hop like fully into Rouget 2, I want to tell you that the bar that's your favorite got your favorite name.
Oh, it's real. I saw it. Schwartz and Sandy's.
Yeah.
Beautiful sign.
It does. It's a nice looking sign. Opened.
Yeah.
They had a grand open. I mean, because I think they're filming Vanderpump. So they had like a grand opening party. I think they're fully open, if not soft opened.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It looks good. It does. Feels really big to me, like nervous big.
Like in terms of space?
Yes.
Like Kid Cudi trying to sell out steak
sandwich
farm.
Shop?
Yes.
Huh? For a sandwich shop?
It's not a sandwich shop.
It's a bar. Like a shop. That's funny.
Damn, Katie should have taken that name, right?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It was the girls that wanted to do a sandwich shop.
Yeah.
Getting my Vanderpump Rules plot lines twisted.
Yeah. Mm. But Katie was at the grand opening.
Oh, so they're so still was, talking, even if they're getting divorced?
Well, so is Raquel and James Kennedy his new girlfriend.
You just got to do it for the show. You do it for the fame.
Yep.
You go hang out with your ex-husband of like 6 months in a bar that he opened. What a thrill.
They were married for several years.
No. They've been divorced about 6 months.
Oh.
Or separated.
For whatever
yes,
months.
Separated for about 6 months.
Oh, so
yeah.
Couldn't do it. Andy couldn't pay me enough. I'm sorry.
It's a lot. No. A lot of awkwardness.
I can let you film a scene with sweaty hands.
Sweaty.
I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. To those that know, know.
We will be back with tea time.
Oh, somebody almost died. But that's a good segue into just one thought. I know you have to do your little intro into this, but do you remember when old girl almost choked on her pills?
Which one? Wait.
Come on. Yeah, her.
Vicky?
Yeah. You remember?
Oh, God, yes.
So look. I was watching it today. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take notes of that because that shit's funny. I'm going to make fun of her old ass. So this morning, I come down here. I'm eating a bagel, and I'm running down the steps, and that shit goes down the wrong pipe, yo. And I'm down here. I'm like, yo, I'm about to choke just like her. I thought about running upstairs to have one yard of the Heimlich. Thank God I could swallow. So I'm sorry, Brandy. Vicky. What's her name?
Vicky.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Vicky.
Immediate karma.
Yeah, exactly.
That was God coming down and being like, don't make fun of her old ass. You're going to die one day.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, we'll like run it back and then we'll hop into these episodes because Rouget 2 just wrapped. The finale aired this week, but we've got to go down memory lane from whence these women came because they're all ex-wives. They've dubbed this season the Ex-Wives Club. None of these people are on anymore yet. Okay, I'll say that.
Yes. At time of filming.
Yes.
As we speak.
Yeah. So from Roa, we've got Eva and we've got Phaedra.
Best additions to the cast.
So like you and I were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. I bring past Phaedra energy I brought that to this season of Rouget because of what I perceived she did to Candy before she left. But in this season, there is a little bit of a scene where Phaedra's like, listen, there are two sides to that story. They never wanted to hear my side of it. And apparently I read an article where Phaedra said she actually talked about her side while filming and Bravo didn't air it, like Rouget. And so there's something that we just don't know about all of that. And the Phaedra that was on this season of Rouget, I liked her before and then all that stuff clouded it. But she was great. I know you love her.
I love her. I love Phaedra. She understands the assignment, right? When it comes to Real Housewives. And you know how I think that's the way we describe like women that though, I don't know, whether you like them personally or the things they do, they show up to the job and they do it well. And that's one of the things I like about Phaedra. But I also love her the particularly the things that she like brings to her confessionals, right? Like Phaedra gives a phenomenal confessional. She brings a great look, a good read. She is her the way she weaves words is fun and bouncy, and you just have you it's appealing to the ears. Everything.
I think this Phaedra is less I don't want to say negative. I felt like she was messier when she was on Roa.
I think she was unhappy too. I think she was genuinely in an unhappy place then. She was kind of in an unhappy marriage. She was stressed. She had two young children. I don't think she was genuinely happy with things. And she was kind of negative and mean and cutting in a lot of ways. But I agree on this one. She's a little softer, she's a little kinder, she's a little bit more thoughtful about the things that she says and not as cutthroat.
Can I read to you one of the last things that Phaedra, not one of the last things, but one of the best reads in Bravo history?
Give it to us.
When she was on Roa, she and Kenya were at each other's throats all the time. And there were times where she felt like Kenya was hitting on her husband at the time, Apollo, and like saying like inappropriate things. So this is what Phaedra said to Kenya at the reunion. She said, while
she's sitting around running around talking about my husband and the father of my children, and she spends her weekends peddling through sperm banks, looking through catalogs to try to find a donor. Honey, you don't know if your baby daddy will be an axe murderer or a child molester, because what you will know is that he needed $10 to get him a medium-sized pizza so he ejaculated in a cup so you could have a kid. Now that check is that.
Burns.
No one said anything.
I don't like that.
It's cold.
That's what I'm saying.
If she would have said that about anybody else, I would have loved it. You know how I feel about Kenya.
Okay. Sorry. It's about but who it said too, not that it was said.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a good statement, just not to my girl.
I don't know if I'll say like Phaedra has a right to say anything, because it's an awful thing to say to someone.
It was dead ass silent in that reunion
awful.
After that.
I watched that. So yeah. I watched the last episode of Rugit this morning, and they play that back. And I felt a knife like go into my heart. Can you imagine Kenya sitting there talking about something all season long that was extremely vulnerable to her, that she wanted to have a child and that she recognized that she would probably have to do it alone. And then like, have that woman who's in an unhappy marriage and like, but Kenya did incite it. Like Kenya does incite shit. And she had it come back to her fivefold.
It was, oof.
And it was, I still feel it in my heart.
So that Phaedra and this Phaedra on Rugit, those are different. And I like it. I like the Phaedra on Rugit.
She's Atlanta's Black China.
Okay. Excuse me? Jump into that.
Look at her. And then from what you just told me, I was going to say she was a classier Black China until you told me that.
No, she isn't. What we saw here, I think, is the classy version.
Okay, yeah.
Because she wasn't like that, like dark, deep cut read from years past wasn't what we saw in these episodes. At least I didn't.
No negative light goes out against Kenya.
Okay. Eva was a great addition also. She had a couple seasons on Roa. I'm going to start that all over.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I got distracted.
Yeah, it's okay. We just talked for so long about it. Do we want to just move to Roni or talk about Eva for a second?
No, go to Eva. She deserves it.
You're damn right. My favorite.
Eva?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that she was on a Housewife show. I only knew her from that show with Tyra Banks and shit.
America's Next Top Model.
Yes, and I knew she was fine back then. And now, this fucking vampire of a woman who doesn't age.
Doesn't age a day.
She's gorgeous.
Stunning.
Y'all know how I feel about Paige and Sierra and Kenya. Eva, I think she's like number one. She bumps Paige off of that.
Look at this picture of her. She is fierce. She still has that like America's Next Time Top Model, like, give it.
Smizing.
Yes. Oh, my God. She's smizing so hard.
Yeah. She was great. She was a fun, chill, necessary element.
Yes. She kept that whole cast grounded.
Yeah. Those are our two Roa ladies. Roni, obviously we were at Dorinda's house and she made sure everyone know that she was on pause. She was not fired like everyone else. She like set herself apart that way, right?
Whatever.
And then we'll talk about her hostessing in a moment. But then we've got Jill, who's an OG New York housewife, who's been trying to get back on Housewives since the millisecond she was fired from Housewives, right? And so she is here as well. Their dynamic was kind of weird. I thought they'd be a little bit more bestie, but they were not.
Jill, take her or leave her, right? Like, it was good to see her. It was good to have her back just to have a little quick catch up, but she can go back from whence she came and she does not need to come back on the show.
Yeah, I kind of thought that I wanted Jill back for a while, but now that she's back, I'm good.
Yeah, it was like a friend you hadn't seen in many years, right? Yeah. And you were like, this has been a really lovely catch up, right? Like you get to hear about,
let you go.
Yeah, you get to hear about the kids and the family and what they've been up to and what, you know, yeah, exactly. But see you in another few years,
yeah.
You know, stick to your Instagram channels. Aww. And that's all right.
Yeah.
But Dorinda, I mean, we do get into this a little bit more specifically, but like, she also might be able to stay from when she came. She can stay in the Berkshires.
Whoa.
I know.
No.
I know.
I need her on somebody's season. Superficially, we've talked about this, the Kenyas, the Pages, the Sierras. But when I talk about like my favorite personal connection with these housewives.
You love a Dorinda?
There's Jen Shaw. There's Erica, Jane. And now there's Dorinda. I love this woman. For real.
He said that with such conviction.
I am serious. It's what episode did you make me watch? What number?
Four.
Number four. When they were talking about no food in the bedrooms. I loved it. It's like she just said it. Hey, did you read the sign? No. Let me go get it for you. Hey, can you read it? And then what's her name? Tamara? White woman with the black woman name? Yeah. She got so upset. It's like, I loved it. It gave me Erica, Erica Jane Bobbs.
Dorinda's thing?
Yeah.
Or what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She viewed that whole weekend like she was in control. I think this is why I have a little contempt for, is that she held control of that weekend by the mere fact that they were filming in her home as like leverage for everything that they did. And you heard about it nonstop. She's even on the last episode, she was like, and don't forget who controls where you sleep. Like it's just very.
She was a mommy dearest host,
yeah.
Hostess, right? She got into it with almost everybody. I was thinking about it yesterday. And at first I was like, she fought with like all the white ladies. Like Eva and Phaedra were not.
They stayed above the fray.
I think so too.
They
yeah.
stayed above. I think they made conscious choices to stay above the fray.
Yeah.
Eva was stoned, which I love for her. But and Phaedra just seemed to be one with Jesus and Zen.
I love that she brought God to the vacation with her. It was great. So Dorinda got into it first with Vicky, and I will say, and we could talk Vicky next. I mean, the OC housewives were Vicky and Tamara. Vicky came into it with, she's got a weird attitude. I think it's because she's an OG, the OG of the OC.
Very entitled.
And she just like, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would care where somebody's mansion was. But she like found all these reasons to pick it apart and pick apart like the town it was in. I'm like, girl, this house costs so much. Like, how are you?
It's an estate.
Yes. How are you like upset? But then we learned that she had just gotten over COVID with her unvaccinated ass and that her fiance had broken up with her like the night before, the week before or something.
While she was there, he was moving out his things from her Kodo house and they were collectively moving or selling, I think, their condo that they had in Mexico.
That's her condo.
Her condo?
That he was living in.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So he was moving all of his stuff out from everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So she comes with that baggage, which like, you know, with that perspective, you're like, sure, I'd be cranky also.
Yeah.
But.
That's like it was during this fault.
There is that.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't any of those women's fault, and she projected it all day long.
The episode that you watched, Eva, when she was, I don't remember what Vicky asked, but Eva was like, I mean, you're the problem. You remember that scene?
I don't remember.
That's what Eva said to Vicky?
Yeah. She was like, you're the problem. And then in her confessional, she said something like, you know, when your daughter like has an attitude for you and no reason, she's like, that's Vicky.
Yeah, I do remember that. I love Eva. But yeah, I'm here to defend Dorinda now. Okay. Like, y'all know how I feel about these housewives. If I'm on your team, I'm on your team. So what else you got? Against her.
So I love Dorinda too. We already talked about how Dorinda got onto Tamra, right?
Definitely won her fault.
Dorinda's?
Yeah, it definitely won Dorinda's fault.
Tamra was breaking the rules. Okay.
Can she not read? When you go into a hotel room, do you not look at like the directions for like the remote and shit and look at the guide, see if we can order some food? Yep. Like, read, woman.
Okay, there were rules to the Bluestone Manor. What about Dorinda and Brandy? I don't know if you saw this, but actually you did. You watched part of it. You were doing the thing where men walk in and out of the room while I'm watching TV. And they were at dinner, and I don't know why, but Taylor and Brandy were going at it for like the 15th time. And Brandy was trying to say something about, I don't know.
Mandrana?
That was before.
that was a fight?
Yeah, somebody had a mangina on her.
I'll be honest, these episodes I watched as best as I can. I kept fading in and out. To some degree, I was a little bored. To some degree, I liked them. There were bits and pieces that I tore apart, but there was something about a mangina.
Yeah, Brandy called Eva's husband a mangina, and then she tried to pretend like it was a compliment because Eva's husband was home with the kids because Eva was there, and so they were like on the phone, and he was just like, yeah, I'm doing this and this, you know, fathering his children. And she was like, oh, he's got a mangina. And she was like, excuse me,
baby, if you call me and told me a housewife said that to you, I'd call you right back and say, I need you to fight that hoe. Punch her square in her shit. Yeah.
What is her husband's name? I know he ran for mayor.
He did.
A few years ago. Michael Sterling. Yeah. Ran against Keisha.
Loser.
Yeah. Ran against Keisha, eight years ago, something like that. Somewhere in that range.
I don't know. Because I didn't even know until they were on the show that he had run. I was like, mm-hmm. But
Dorinda and Jill.
Yeah, that was at the end of the episode that you watched.
Won her fault again. Like when you get drunk and then you start saying a friend of 20 years has never had your back for anything, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. It's like, well, if that happens to be true, whose fault is that? Is that yours for being that person's friend for 20 years still? But it was bullshit. I like Dorinda.
Dorinda was on 10 for a while,
though. The whole time. I don't think she understands what they meant about why she needed to take a pause. Like, I think she is a little bit misunderstanding of why she was put on a pause. And it's because people, there were Dorinda fans, right? Like, I'm one. I'm with you. I am a Dorinda fan, have long been a Dorinda fan. But her last season on Roni was kind of what we were just talking about, Phaedra, very dark. The attacks that she was taking on people were like very aggressive and targeted. She had a lot to drink. That seemed to be a consistent theme on all the parties, that Dorinda would get drunk and yell at someone.
She wasn't a fun drunk. She was a mad drunk.
She's a mean drunk.
Yeah.
And so she can't hold her liquor. She gets three martinis in her and she's another woman, which is genuine. And so I think they were taking the tact of, we need to put this part on pause. We love you. There are big fans for Dorinda, but we need to see you in a healthier place, I think, so that this doesn't stay in a messy, dark place. But that's exactly what happened on Rugit.
Every day.
So, like, I don't think she got it.
And poor, I don't know if it makes sense for me to say, and poor Brandy. She got the brunt of a lot of it. But Brandy's, she's so So the Beverly Hills women who were on the show were Brandy and Taylor. Taylor is, lives in OC now, and I a little bit think they're going to put her on and give her either a friend of role or something.
I bet she's coming back with Tamara as a friend of. This is a setup for it.
Yeah. But like Brandy, it's like she walks around with gasoline and a lighter everywhere.
Yeah.
She goes in her like kind of like a perpetual daily walk of shame uniform. Like she's like she falls asleep in her clothes every day and doesn't shower for a while.
Oh, that last episode when she showed up for like still drunk. For Brandy, I genuinely think that's more than alcohol. I think she's probably taking some sort of medication that should not be had with alcohol. And so when she gets drunk, she gets wasted. And she wakes up the next day looking like she got trampled by some elephants. And she walks into breakfast just like,
hi.
Hey, everyone. What happened last night?
Yeah.
So, and it's just, it's consistent. Well, I'll say
and
that.
At that bourbon party when... It was the Prohibition bourbon party, right? First of all, everyone looked so cute.
Yeah.
Especially Eva.
Yeah, he walked down the screen and he was like, she looks great as a man.
Like, what?
Because she had that little suit on.
Had me thinking twice.
And Brandy literally was like, I'll drink dark liquor. Like, I get real crazy. And then she proceeded to drink all the dark liquor. And rip poor Marco's the butler's shirt off. And
not Marco.
Marco. And yeah, I just, Brandy, I don't know. She just fought with everybody. I will say, I think Vicky, Tamara, and Taylor came into it gunning for Brandy. Because no matter what she did those first few episodes, they were like,
yeah,
screaming.
I mean, she was pretty awful to Taylor on the seasons that they were there together. So I can understand how Taylor would come into that being like, not down, do not want to play, do not want to engage, don't talk to me. And then when she does, you're like, oh, hell no.
Taylor was not a good look, like the way that she would pop off on Brandy. Like it looked like she was like, there was like a demon coming out.
Yeah.
Remember, you know that meme where it's like...
The one with the cat?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was that like four times during the season.
Yeah. Taylor can come on as a friend of to me. Like, I don't really ever want to see her back on as a housewife. When she was on as a housewife, talk about someone who had some baggage. That woman was going through a lot while she was on screen. Her husband was like actively abusing her, like would beat the crap out of her at home. And that ended up getting revealed on an episode where Fraser's ex-wife basically just like leans in on her and exposes this secret. And I think it was done with some, I think they thought if they did it on camera, like it would stop hopefully, or that they would like, it would have to be dealt with. I do genuinely think, because like all the women were there and some of them were her friends. So I think they all knew what was going to happen. They just let Camille kind of take the fall for it. And, but so she was going through some real shit on camera.
And then her husband killed himself.
Yeah.
Who is this?
And Brandy was still.
Who's Brandy?
And Brandy never gave her a pass at all.
That's Taylor, the one whose husband was abusing her and then killed himself. That's Brandy, who was on the show with her and was like a huge bitch and didn't care that any of that was happening.
Yeah.
You remember one episode you said somebody looks like the lady from Legally Blonde?
Yeah, it wasn't.
That's her. That's who it should apply to. No.
Taylor?
Her.
Brandy.
Yes, Brandy looks like that lady.
Bend and snap.
They both look like they've seen some Botox.
Is a lot of things in people's faces here. Mainly Vicky and Taylor and Brandy.
Brandy
has so much in her face.
Brandy looked like she had a botched Botox job just before she got there.
There was one episode near the end where she like didn't have any makeup on. And I remember thinking like, wow, look how like fresh faced and like beautiful.
I agree. She had just come out of the shower and I was like, she looks very nice.
Yeah. So Brandy's a hot ass mess. Like she drives that train, right? A little bit in my head think that she's like perfect for Bravo though. Or is it too much mess? Like, is what she brings every single time, like undressing, the people who work around her and her castmates. Like every episode, she's talking about how she wants to make out or sleep with these women. And then calling everyone a bitch, but saying she's joking, people not taking it well, and then doing it again. Like, is that too much or is that like perfect TV?
I think it deserves a place, but I think she understands the assignment a little too much, right? Yeah. She's an overachiever, and I don't know that it's a lot of mess.
It's a lot. There's just so much like, I'm sorry, but I love you so much. Fuck you, bitch. In rotation, just like on repeat, it feels like a lot.
Yeah.
I'm also a sensitive Sally and could never be in these situations.
Dorinda would have chomped you, huh?
Oh, you know it. Oh, I would cry. I would be Jill at all times.
Yo, Dorinda got that, what's her name from the OC? Yes, what's her name?
Vicky.
She got Vicky to apologize.
She did.
Dorinda's a fucking boss.
At this point, too, I think people were becoming more afraid of Dorinda because anytime anybody did anything, they would just get screamed at.
Had them hoes in their bedroom scared.
Yeah, literally.
Take out the evidence.
Literally. Yeah, they handed Marco the bag of cupcakes and he was like, get this out of here. She can't see it. Picking up like specks of chocolate on that and falling on the ground.
Can I tell you guys what I learned about Marco?
Yeah, please.
So this week.
Any juice is good juice here in tea time.
So our friend Nella from Fix My Life podcast, she DM'd me on Instagram, Marco's Instagram account. And I learned several things. I learned that he's Puerto Rican, so he could be my cousin.
La familia.
Yeah, it's a small island. You never know. He is a classically trained actor. He's got like an MFA from somewhere in California. He's been in so I creeped all over his website, looked at his resume. He's been in lots of Shakespeare plays, so like real classically trained. He got this gig as the butler like on a whim, like real last minute, friend of a something, right? He was there for like 9 days. He is an actor, not a butler. He felt real weird about Brandy ripping his shirt off. And at the very end of the season finale of this show, he like goes in the confessional and he's like, here's the shirt that like, is ripped to shreds. Brandy said she'd pay for it. She probably won't, and like throws shade in that direction. People online are getting a little weird about his saying that he didn't enjoy that because he was like kind of dancing or whatever at that party.
Oh, the victim party. Blaming. Trying to blame the
abused.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I see this on Law and Order all the time. So there was an episode where these three women had like a bachelorette party and they had a male dancer and they end up raping him.
I remember this one.
Thank you. I was trying to tell Bree. She didn't remember.
Yeah.
But it had a lady from Full House in it. And then the guy wanted to report it.
Jody Sweetin? Was that it?
No, it was like the mom.
Lori Loughlin?
Not the one who got locked up.
Okay.
Okay, it was the other one. But he tried to report it and Stabler didn't believe him. End of the story. They almost raped that little boy.
Oh,
oh my God.
Yeah, Marco said he did not enjoy that.
Seems to be a theme though. Luann like straddled the one in season one and took a shot out of his mouth. And then on this one, they're like tearing his clothes off. The women are
abusive. Pray for whoever's in Thailand.
Yeah, God bless that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so Marco, listen, if you want to come tell your side of the story, man, we're open.
This is an open mic.
In a safe space.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you want to be a butler on Rugit?
It depends. Okay. It depends on the cast.
Okay.
If you get a clothing allowance.
Fuck that. I'll go in a Speedo if it's the right cast. That's okay. It.
Who's like
you already know.
I know who.
You already know.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you that question. I was going to ask the opposite.
Who would you butler for?
No, opposite. Who are you like, absolutely not, don't bring those people on my trip?
What's a redhead from Texas?
Brandy.
Never. BD Oz from New York.
Ramona.
Never. Weird dressing girl from California, but she's starting to dress a little better now. Used to be on the soap operas.
Lisa Rinna.
Lisa Rinna. Okay. Nah, I was like Eileen.
I know, but he wouldn't have seen.
Everybody else. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's picturing it now. Depending on if it's at a beach.
No Rinna, huh?
No, I can't do that. Mm-mm. I feel like I remember seeing her on TV like when I was a kid, mm-hmm. like with my mom. So that would be like a little weird.
She was definitely on a on soaps.
Yeah. And just generally on, I feel like she was hosting stuff. She was just kind of like, she was a hustler. She hustles, as she said.
So who would you not want to have on your Rugged trip?
On my trip.
You're holding center Peach. Who's around you?
Who's not around me?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who's not around you?
Definitely Ramona. Ramona is not welcome on my island at all. I don't think I'd want Brandy there either, to be honest.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. She drained me. I want to chill like Eva does. Let's see. Who else is not there? I started to say Kim Zolciak, but I wouldn't do that. I'd let her on my island. She wouldn't be first choice, though. Drew can stay away.
Ralph would be somewhere lurking. Yeah. Or not, right?
Because yeah, Drew can stay away. And Sutton.
Is a no-go.
Not right now.
Okay.
Not right now.
My non...
Actually, take that back. If Sutton brings gifts... Sorry.
She is a good gift giver.
If Sun brings gifts, I'd forgive her maybe for a little bit.
Okay. Okay. People who would not come on my trip would be, honestly, y'all, I don't want Bethany to come with me on a trip.
Okay.
Heard. She's real controlling. And I need to be in control. so I don't want her on my trip. Obviously, I don't want Ramona on my trip. She is very, she's very uptight, but she's not uptight only when she wants to be. Like, it's only on her terms. It's confusing. I would not want Karen Huger on my trip. She just bugs me.
Okay.
I don't
disagree with that.
She just bugs me.
La Dom.
Yeah. And then I also would not want Adriana from Miami on my trip. She also bugs me. She, like, has to be center of attention in a way that's annoying to me.
Mm.
I'm sure there's others, but... And like all of Dallas except Dr. Tiffany Moon.
Yeah.
And Mama D, she can come.
Yeah, I'd let Mama D come. Yeah. Mama D could come. Who's the one I particularly can't stand? Cameron.
Mm. Yeah.
I would not want to travel anywhere with Cameron.
Yeah, no, thank you. One thing that was so poor Jill. People kept calling her thirsty on this season of Rugged. Do you think she was the thirstiest housewife or ex-wife?
I mean, her and Dorinda were chasing for that title.
Yikes.
Like, both of them were running towards thirstiest ex-wives, which is not a great place to be. I thought that it was interesting. I didn't realize that Jill also attended Dorinda's husband's funeral.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that they had that bond. But I don't know. Jill is thirsty. Jill's been thirsty for years. We learned a lot about, actually, like, her invitation to bring the cameras into her husband's funeral, which was...
That's interesting. That's really
revealing.
Yeah. She, like, invited Bravo to her husband's funeral.
Jill. She said it was her assistant that sent the email, and she was stood by, and she was like, was my name on the email? I wasn't even CC'd. How would I have known?
Yeah,
and
someone's going to not tell you that they're inviting cameras to your husband's funeral, please.
That's, she was like, crazy. Outside, not inside. And I was like, does it make a difference?
Right.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the things people do for fame.
She wasn't even on the show anymore. She was off the show by a few years,
yeah.
And she still got some coverage because Bethany agreed to, like, go up and hug her after the funeral outside. She claims she had no idea that Bethany was mic'd and that the cameras were going to come, which every single housewife in there pointed out would be like, they were like, impossible. Everything has to be signed off. Releases have to be, like, agreed to, et cetera, et cetera. Anybody whose face was shown on that block would have had to agree to be on television.
That's nasty.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I also think Jill is the thirstiest. It's funny because the way Brandy acts, you would think she is, but I think that she just is that way.
That is her. That is her.
Like, I don't think that, yeah, it's so strange. I don't know if Dorinda's thirsty. I think that she has a little bit of Bravo entitlement. Because of her on pause status, she also was just like needed to take like a Laura tab while these people were there. And she's just like, oh, this is real wound up.
I feel bad for Marco, honestly, because
poor guy.
he wasn't even a butler. He was an actor, and he was probably being abused by this woman.
I don't know. And then poor Vicky, I want to say, is thirsty. She obviously, she's been vocal about wanting to be back on the show, but she was too cranky to be thirsty on this episode. So I don't know. Center Peach, who's holding it?
Dorinda. And for sure.
Oh, she's Center Peach in this picture, too.
Come on now. Talking about an abuser. She ain't no fucking abuser. She a boss.
She's a boss.
I'm just saying, sometimes you just got to tell her how it is. People don't like straight... Fuck, that was my phone. Yeah, I'm sorry. People don't like straight shooters, yo. Jen, straight shooter. Maybe shot sideways a couple times. Erica, straight shooter. I like these women.
You want the people that... You like the women who people are afraid of.
I guess.
Yeah.
He likes an intimidating boss bitches.
Yeah.
Intimidating to whom?
Okay.
Tamra, clearly. She was hiding upstairs with her
cupcakes.
Ran
away to cry in her room.
You got a black woman's name. You got to be tougher than that. Shit.
Tamra.
She typically is, actually. I think it was a little bit... And maybe she already knew she was going back to the show, so she like was taking a bit of a chill pill because she knew she had a dollar coming in soon. Mm. But she didn't. She seemed a little bit more reserved. Like her confessional reads were kind of typical Tamra, but her in person, she was not yelling or jumping down anyone's throat.
Soft.
She was hiding most of it. It felt like.
I feel like that could be a recurring thing that we're seeing on Rugit. Because in season one, we talked about how like it felt like we saw different sides of some of the ladies.
Sure.
Like Kenya was way more fun and like chill.
Yeah.
On that episode, Kyle was more almost reserved on that season. And so same thing here. We see
Teresa was like night and day.
Yeah. So I wonder if just the setting of it all.
Right. They don't feel threatened for their jobs or roles. Some of these women did.
Yeah.
Dorinda very clearly looked like she was competing for something. Jill looked like she was competing for something. Vicky looked like she was off her. Rocker.
I've never seen somebody be on a vacation for TV and want to not be there so badly.
Yeah.
And like have it written all over your face. Like it was just so, she was like, I just want to whoop it up, but also I hate everything about this place.
I guarantee they were on her ass about like testing and COVID and that sort of thing because they were like, I'm sure that was part of an agreement. You have to come, if you want to be a part of this production, you're going to have to be tested. It's going to be in this cadence. It's going to be, you have to. And she probably was all up in her butt about it, especially day one coming into it. And was like,
I know, probably had to keep her MAGA hat at home.
Yeah.
She was upset.
Who's your MVP?
Eva is my MVP.
Mine too. I agree.
Just really chill. I think that she could be a poster child for any sort of like sweeping federal legalization of marijuana because. We saw what drinking did to everyone, and then we saw what smoking did to Eva. Everyone was losing their mind, and she was like, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
You know, like, damn.
She maintained her real life. Like, she was still doing her morning show and job. Like, she was still doing her podcast. She was checking in with her husband and kids. Like, she was like, but she was treating it like a vacation. She truly treated this like she was on vacation. Because I also think she's not thirsty for getting back on the show. I think.
At the end of this, they asked all the women, would you do this again? Everyone said yes. Eva said no.
Yeah, I believe it because she's got three young kids. Yeah. It starts to become really dangerous for the kids after a little while.
That's true.
And I'm sure she's enjoying just like her life. And so she was up there doing this as a one-off, having a vacation. She was getting in the pool. She was getting in the kayak.
Giving looks.
Yes. Yeah. Looking fierce. Looking great. Mm-hmm. Looking very like never put makeup on her face except for in the confessionals. She looked wonderful.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
Do you remember?
Oh, fuck, that was funny. But do you remember Jill's thirsty ass trying to sell on the bed while Eva was doing her morning show? And Dorinda had to step in.
Talk about thirsty.
I just want to sit there. Can I be a guest? Or can I just sit there?
And Eva was like, no, you cannot just be a guest, first of all. Yeah.
And she had an issue with Dorinda stepping in. Like, come on.
That's what
Dorinda's the realest.
Yeah. That's
she was playing protective, like.
That's a good host.
Yeah, hostess. She was pulling them back.
No, my guest is here. She has to work. leave her the fuck alone.
Basically.
And she wants to go. No, that, you know how nasty that is? When she walked out of the room, according to them, they were supposed to be friends for 20 years, right? She walks directly out of the room, stops and talks to Atlanta's Blac Chyna, and starts gossiping about this woman who she's supposed to be friends with. During a walked right on out. What the fuck you saying, bitch? I loved it.
Yes, she did. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, Dorinda was not, she's not afraid of confrontation. That's for damn sure. She searches for it at times. Thank you for good TV.
I still, you know what? I love how you ride till you literally die for some of these women. They can do no wrong. In fact, other women do wrong no matter what, like against them, and no matter what the other woman is doing, it's still wrong. It is.
Check my Enneagram.
Yes.
I'm a loyalist.
I was about to say, you are the most loyal person I've ever met.
That's our six.
Literally a golden retriever level of loyal. Literally.
I'm a dog. You know it.
Oh my God. Rugit one or Rugit two?
God. Okay. Combo of reasons.
Okay.
Rugit one for the settings.
Yeah.
Rugit, and because there wasn't, it was neutral ground, which I also like. Like, I think it was a little unfair to have it at one of these women's homes, right? Like, while beautiful and whatever, I think it was a neutral setting, which allowed all of these women to unwind a little bit. I feel like there was a lot of tension because they were in this person's home who was being quite aggressive with her hostesship. But so for the setting, I go with that. But there are some women on this show that I was glad to see again, like Phaedra and Eva. I would have loved to have brought them down to Turks and Caicos. Jill, to a degree, I would have loved to have brought down to Turks and Caicos. Like, it's that aunt you don't ever want to, like, necessarily spend a whole lot of time with, but you love checking in with her, right? So that's kind of what I'd say, is I'd bring some of those women to the Turks and Caicos and leave some of these women in the Berkshires.
Yeah. I honestly think I like this cast more.
Okay.
I liked Rugit One. Definitely Turks and Caicos as a location.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, though, the neutral ground portion that you just said. That makes sense to me.
And I think it allowed those women to, you saw a lot more authenticity from all of those women. Like, Teresa was willing to open up. Kenya was willing to open up. Countess was willing to open up. Kyle, to a degree. Like, all these women were a little bit more giving of, like, the behind the scenes sort of information. Whereas these women, sometimes they felt like they were fending for their lives against the woman that was hosting them.
That's true. Aww. You gotta relax, Dorinda. Thank you, Andy, for assembling season two of The Avengers. Real Housewives edition. We're gonna come right back. We got a game for y'all.
And we're back with a little bit of game time. I think this game I'm calling Desmond's Bedtime Stories, because I could listen to the way that he talks about these women while falling asleep at night. I think it's eloquent and lovely, and it weaves a tapestry, a visual tapestry.
Oh, the Bravo Calm app. Somebody call me.
Okay.
Yes. So I thought we could maybe, since you don't really know a lot of these women because they're all ex-wives, right? We have a lot of women he's not met necessarily on their seasons before. So this is his first time meeting some of them. So I thought I'd let your creative juices flow a little bit and see if you could come up with some of their fictional backstory and see if your lovely wife can guess who you are talking about.
Well, as you guys know, we are great at this type of stuff.
Yeah.
If you listen to last episode, she gets everything that I described. So I'm excited.
Okay.
We could actually compete. I could also try and guess.
Okay. Let's both guess and see who's your actual wife.
And let's begin.
Okay.
This first lady, she grew up as a gypsy. She moved around from state to state, selling hand-woven scarves and mittens. And then she got her fortune by selling crystals
and herbs. And
She might be one of the biggest crystal dealers on the West Coast.
Can I ask a clarifying question first? Oh, yeah. No, this is fake, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
all fake.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, ask the question. I'm curious.
Are any of those details really about that person?
No.
Okay.
These are all lies.
Okay. Okay, I have a guess.
You guess.
I think it's Eva from Roa.
I was going to ask Eva as well, so.
No.
What?
And then I thought that was too obvious by her hippie to be self.
Okay. Dang it, me too. All right.
Brandy.
Gypsy. Crystals. Scarves.
Gypsy, crystals, scarves.
Brandy?
Phaedra?
Dorinda.
Oh, what?
I don't know how she got her money. Shit.
Oh my God, she's selling scarves. That's how.
I think the like herbs and scarves and gypsy lifestyle felt too like chill. For Dorinda to come to my mind.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's cute.
Okay. You ready for the next one?
Okay.
Yes.
Next lady.
Okay. All lies.
All lies. She grew up on a farm. And when she left that farm, she started working on a tiger ranch with Joe Exotic. And she had a baby on that ranch with the tigers.
Excuse me?
And when that baby came, they mated with the tiger. Do you know who I'm describing?
Okay. Phaedra? I'm going to say Brandy.
Which one's Brandy?
This one.
Damn it, no. The one on the right.
Her?
Yes.
Vivi?
Don't you look like a tiger? Shit. Oh my God.
I guess I do see she has cat-like features, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I should have said Tommy Knocker.
Oh my God.
Okay. This next one you have to get.
Oh God, so much pressure.
Okay. She grew up on the main streets of Detroit, all fake. And she became a stripper with a very large ass. And she makes a clap on a regular. I mean, come on now.
There's only one that could be described.
I don't know.
But again, if these are all lies, then it just changes everything.
Remember this episode.
And okay, initially I was going to say Tamra. That's where my head went first. But now that last sentence, I'm like, is it Phaedra? Like,
which one's Phaedra?
Tamra.
Which one's Phaedra?
Right here.
Yeah. Okay.
With the making a clap on the regular, yeah. I was like, I mean, there can only be one.
That was kind of like a toss up. If you remember this episode when they're wearing the workout gear, who's the lady who had her ass cheeks out?
Tamra.
She had no ass either. She was like, oh, did you see my ass? Ain't nothing back there, girl.
No. But I thought maybe she'd grown up on the mean streets of Detroit.
Well, and during the Prohibition party, she's literally like taking her clothes off. So it's like, oh, she's a stripper.
I didn't want to say Atlanta, but.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's tough. Mm-mm. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, y'all.
That's okay. LP wins 1-0.
Purely from just throwing names at a dartboard. What a game.
Yes.
But I tell you, these stories, these
How
women's backstories.
How can we get like some sort of something on the call map? A housewives related story time.
Right.
Maybe literally.
I should write a housewife children's book.
Okay. Oh my God.
She can make a clap on the regular.
And this hoe.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks I definitely, add, you know what? When we start to sell merch, I think that could be one of the first items.
And I already know what I'm doing. So look, you remember when old girl got her ass beat in Potomac?
Yes.
Dr. Seuss style.
Oh my God. I will not hit you in a winery. I will not.
Hit you in a dinery. I will only hit you in a refinery.
Yeah, there we go.
But speaking of that, didn't she come to town? I know we're about to wrap up.
Yes. Candace is coming to Atlanta.
To do what?
Sing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not to fight.
Yeah. She's going to be here. I don't remember when, but like in the next couple months, I think.
Okay.
City Winery.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Are there tickets?
Yeah.
Should we go?
I don't know. Maybe we'll win everything. Let's manifest winning tickets because we got to Craig and Austin's show for free. We got to Sonia's show for free. We're going to go to Candace's show for free too.
There Candace, we'd love to come support you on this great big night in our city.
Yeah.
But then let us get you as a guest.
Yes.
Is she still on the show?
Yes.
She is. She's going to be on Rugit.
Yeah. That's right. Uh-huh. Rugit 3.
Yep.
Well, I guess we should end by giving a big ups and congratulations to one of these ladies.
Yeah, we can like impromptu St. Andy.
Yeah, impromptu stand Danny. Way to go, Tamara. Way to prove to these women that there can be light on the other side of getting kicked off the show.
Getting that orange back.
You can come back. They will bring you back. I thought she might come back, but they needed to get Vicky the hell off that show.
Yes. Tamara's coming back to Real Housewives of OC. And now she's going to be with Shannon, who she had a big falling out with when she left the show, when Tamara left the show.
Whatever.
Heather Dubrow, who I don't think that they are friendly right now.
I don't think
either.
That they get along.
No. And then Emily and Gina are going to still be there as well. So we'll see. I definitely think Tamara's needed on OC. I didn't even finish last season of OC.
They need some spice of life.
They need it back.
They need some spice of life. Yeah. They're not getting it with Shannon. Shannon's sad every day, all day.
Did you guys see that Tamara called Jill out on social media because Jill announced Tamara returning before Tamara could announce that she was returning?
I did not see that.
So she tweeted Jill and was like, F off, Jill.
Poor Jill.
Oh, thirsty ass.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But she was able to announce, re-announce, I guess, on Watch What Happens Live. She, like, pulled her orange back out. It was cute.
Aww.
Yeah. I'll watch it now. Honestly, Tamara's a mess, but she was, like, she's great mess for us.
She's good TV.
Oh, my gosh.
She's good TV.
I've been listening to Two Teas in a Pod a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it is, I'm not a huge Teddy Mellencamp fan, but it is interesting to hear what we do on Boy Meets Bravo, but from literal housewives perspectives, like having that insider information, and Teddy's still friends with all the Beverly Hills people. So like, that's been kind of interesting. I listened to it like in bits, but yeah.
Tamara stood up for Teddy against Vicky. She was like, I don't get why you don't like her.
Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah. She
and Vicky were on there and literally
got into it
in the chairs next to Andy. Vicky was like, I just don't like her.
I don't like her. She's like, why?
Yeah.
Why? Why don't you like her? She's my friend. She's great people.
Yeah.
Like,
Vicky what? Just wants to be on TV again.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. Are you excited for our marathon housewiving next week?
Excuse me?
Yeah. You said it.
You should me.
30 minutes per season. We're doing a wrap up.
10 minutes episode.
Well, how did we get back
here? Where did that land? I thought we were at 30.
I never said that.
All right, y'all, we'll be back next week with a little bit of literally everything. The boy's going to watch it all.
It's a salad.
Five?
Where is this going?
We'll be back next week, y'all. Find us online. We are at Boy Meets Bravo on Instagram, on Twitter. And we're going to have a website coming really soon. And hopefully we'll see you in Bravo World.
At BravoCon. Yeah. We'll be there with t-shirts on. Look out for us. Boy Meets BravoCon. We're there.
Hopefully other people will have t-shirts on too.
Yeah. We are coming quite festive. We're coming in hot, y'all. We are coming in hot.
See you next week. Bye.
Boom.